This is Cry Justice with Judy Redlick, examining issues of importance to you, your family, and our community that the other media just won't cover. Now, here's Judy Redlick.
In light of the recent terrorist attacks in America, how are you and your family handling fear? There's a holiday that's based on fear. Are you going to be celebrating it this year? Let's look at Halloween's tradition. It's the second largest commercial holiday in America. And Americans spend, get this, $2.5 billion a year on Halloween, decorations, costumes, etc. $2.5 billion. Isn't that amazing? Well, let me tell you a little bit about the tradition of Halloween. Well, it started when the Druids, which are fallen priests, took a turnip and they carved a face in the turnip. This was about 200 A.D. And they hung it on a string and they put a candle in this turnip. And they carved a face in it. And they'd go door to door with the turnip with the candle in it. Now, what they would do is they would go house to house and they'd say trick or treat. If the person didn't give them a treat, they would either burn the house down or they'd cast a spell on the person's home. Now, this started, mind you, in about 200 A.D. Now, it happened all over Europe and the Roman Empire, etc., and it didn't come till America until 1845. Now, our forefathers who founded America knew the occultic history of Halloween. However, when the Northern Irish came to the United States, they had been celebrating the holiday over there in Northern Ireland, so they probably didn't really know the tradition of Halloween and how it got started. So they brought it over to America, and today, like I said, it grosses about $2.5 billion in America. Now, let me tell you a little bit about some scriptures. There are 150 scriptures in the Bible that talk about Halloween and some of the things that happens on Satan's high day or Satan's holy day. Let me share with one scripture with you that can really open your eyes to some of these practices. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12, it mentions nine things that God hates. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consumer of familiar spirits, consulter of familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, necromancers are people that talk to the dead. For, listen to this, all who do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Now, if you want to look at that scripture yourself, it's Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 12. What are we really glorifying when we decorate our houses and when we set up, when we wear costumes and we let our kids wear costumes of witches and ghosts and goblins? You know, the devil offers counterfeit, but Jesus Christ offers truth. And if we dress our kids up in those types of costumes, are we glorifying the devil? Think about this. Did you know that Halloween is the highest day for abortions and children to be sacrificed? Now, this is the same thing that it talks about in this scripture in Deuteronomy. Daughters and sons pass through the fire. Isn't that what we're doing when we're aborting babies, allowing babies to be aborted? Or when there's human sacrifice being done? That's a really major scripture when you think about what Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 12 talks about. How can we even begin to celebrate Halloween? Now, there's about 150 scriptures in the Bible that talk about Halloween. There's one, suffer a witch to live. Then when you consider in 2 Samuel, the scripture about rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many people depend on psychics and psychic hotlines? Princess Diana had a psychic. Did you know that? She had her own personal psychic. Now, tell me this. She was in that accident. Why didn't that psychic tell her when she went to the psychic a couple of weeks in advance that she was going to have an accident, she's going to be hit by a red car and killed? Are psychics using only clever conjecture from what they can pick up from those who come to see them and just take your money? Think about Sylvia Brown and John Edward. Many times you see John Edward on Sci-Fi, and often Sylvia Brown is on the Montel Williams show. Well, they are going around the country, and they're renting auditoriums, and they're having people pay like $85 to come, and then they only choose about 12 of those people, and they ask them a whole bunch of clever questions so that they can, by clever conjecture, tell them what is going to be happening in their life. Now, don't you think that's out-and-out fraud? And how many really hear about that? Well, I have a man that used to do that. In fact, you know what? He is from ESP Ministries, which is called Exposing Satan's Power. And his name is Ben Alexander. Now, did you know that he used to talk to the dead? And he was a formal spiritualist medium who came face to face with the demons of the Prince of Darkness. And he realized when a Christian family gave him love, he had never realized happiness in his life until that time. And God shown his great power to him. And then he realized that Jesus was real, and he started learning more about the Bible. What is spiritualism anyway? Let's learn more about it from Ben Alexander, director and founder of ESP Ministries.
Now, let me explain to you what spiritualism is. People often say to me, at different times, in fact, last night somebody said to me, a young man, what was it like being a Satanist? I was never a Satanist. Spiritualists would be offended if you called them Satanists. A Satanist is a person that does everything that's evil and immoral and worships the devil. And it's true, they get into witchcraft as well. But I was not a Satanist. I was a spiritualist. And spiritualists are different kind of people. Actually, the truth of the matter is that they live by the golden rule. That's their purpose in life. And you see, what they don't understand is that Satan cuts the cloth to fit the wearer. He knows exactly the type of personality a Satanist is, but he also knows the personality of a spiritualist. Nice people. And so the way he comes to them is as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now, spiritualists have a threefold creed. Number one is to prove life after death. Number two is to contact the dead. And number three is to give comfort to the bereaved. And on the face of it, there's nothing wrong with that, really, when you think about it. They're very sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. You see, Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They don't realize what they're doing. And the reason that they have the problem is because they do not read the Bible. There are 150 scriptures pertaining to the occult, pertaining to contacting the spirit world. It is absolutely forbidden. And that's the trouble. And no wonder God said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Now, spiritualism is a religion. The mediums are ministers. They read from the Bible. If you went into a spiritualist church, you would think you were in an ordinary church. Because they pray. They pray to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, but those that do the will of my Father, Matthew 7:20. And this is not the will of the Father. They claim the 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me share with you about the spiritualist church. You can feel very comfortable as a sinner in the spiritualist church. And here is the reason. I felt very comfortable. Because what they say is when you die, if you've lived a good life, you go on to when you die or go over the other side, you go on to a very high, beautiful plane, indescribable beauty, heaven, and they cannot describe it to us, they tell us. But if you've lived a sinful life, you go on a low, murky plane. But don't worry about that. Because the people from the higher planes will come down and help you get out of that low, murky plane and go on to the higher planes. And some of the teachings are that you come back, reincarnation. And so I like that teaching. You see, I was a sinner. And let's face it, sin is a pleasure. But the wages of sin is death. They don't tell you that. They say there is no death, no hell, no judgment, no devil to worry about, that Jesus himself was not the Messiah, that you are your own Messiah, that God loves us all, and that the salvation is by works, and the door to reformation is never ever closed. You see, what Satan wants to do, he wants to redefine death as a pleasant transition without any accountability to God. Now, where do spiritualists get all this information from? Shirley MacLaine, the celebrity evangelist for the New Age movement, where does she get her information from? Kevin Ryerson. Kevin Ryerson, who is he? He is a trance channeler. Where does he get his information from? A so-called spirit guide. You know, people often say to me, Brother Ben, why don't you speak about the New Age movement? Well, I discovered that I've been speaking about the New Age movement for about 35 years now. You see, there's nothing new about the New Age. The New Age is an old deception. You know when the New Age started? In the time of Adam and Eve. When Satan said to Eve, if you partake of the tree of knowledge, ye shall be as God. What does the New Age teach? What does Shirley MacLaine teach? You are God. Now, where does this all take place? It takes place at a seance. The word seance is a French word. It means a sitting to contact the dead. The center of attraction in the seance room is a spirit medium. Now, a spirit medium could be a male or a female. Now, we have five senses: taste, touch, see, hear, and smell. But we're also made in the image of God. And God is not flesh and blood. God is a spirit. And we are spirits. And a medium is a person who is sensitive to non-physical forces. And what happens, there is a passive submission on the part of that medium to these foreign intelligences, which are called demons. And in reality, what happens is that the medium, you go to the medium to get information, and that medium becomes your substitute savior. And 1 Timothy 2:5 turns around and tells us there is only one mediator between God and man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got into spiritualism, I just so badly wanted to be a spirit medium. And I kept going into trance. At least I thought I was going into trance. And my wife would look at me and she'd see my face would change. She said, that's called transfiguration in spiritualism. And a voice would speak out through me, supposedly from the dead. And very often I would say to my wife, you know, Miranda, perhaps that's not me. Perhaps it's not the voice. Perhaps that is me and I am just making out like it's a spirit, until one day I heard rappings around the wall. And I was excited, because this is a sign that the spirits are taking over. My friend Jeff Miller, who you're going to see on the next video, he was a very powerful medium. Sometimes his face would change and he'd look huge. And he would look just like an American Indian. And then he would speak in a foreign language. In fact, I have a tape of him speaking in a foreign language. And of course he never knew any other language. And there were other times he'd just shrivel up and look like a Chinaman. At first we started playing with a Ouija board. And when he put his fingers on it, it went like lightning. And then he would take a piece of paper on a clipboard. And he wouldn't even look at it. And his hands would fly like lightning over that sheet of paper within just about less than a minute. And when you looked, there was the drawing of a supposed dead spirit or a spirit guide. You see, in spiritualism, it starts usually with a Ouija board, and then it goes into what they call automatic writing, and then clairaudience and clairvoyance and psychometry. Psychometry is sometimes used by law enforcement, where psychics get hold of a piece of clothing, perhaps from a child, and they call upon the spirit to give them an idea where this particular child is missing. On very, very rare occasions, a child is found. This is not from God. If that was from God, he'd take you straight there. And there are all types of phenomena that would be taking place. So, really and truly, what is really going on? Let's take a look at the Word of God and see what's going on. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible clearly tells us this. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." The Bible tells us our fight in this world is not against human beings. And then he tells us who it's against. Principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a spirit world of demon power. It's very real. I know it's real. You wait till you see the very last video and you'll see how real these things are. There is a spirit world of demon power. And it's like a kind of a hierarchy. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. But praise God, there is another spirit. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Jesus. And here are these two mighty forces. Two mighty forces. Jesus and Satan. And where is the battleground? In every human being's mind. Right there is the battleground. And you and I can't do a thing to defeat Satan. He's already been defeated by Jesus. But Jesus had to die. He had to die, otherwise there was no salvation for us. But he said, "I will not leave you as orphans." And he sent us the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us how we receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not a gift. A gift, or the disposition of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit-inspired word, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it is more than that. Not only do you have to live a godly life, but you also have to study the Word of God. And there are too many people, unfortunately, don't read the Word of God. And this is why the spiritualists get in trouble, because they don't read the Word of God. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. In summing this up, who is the greatest authority in the world concerning psychic phenomena? The Word of God, the man that wrote it all, the Word of God, Jesus. And there are six questions concerning this particular message that you must ask yourself. Number one, are mediums a reality? The answer is yes, Deuteronomy 18:10. Number two, did seances take place in the Bible? They certainly did, 1 Samuel 28, but they were forbidden. Number three, do we contact the dead? The Bible tells us in Leviticus 20, verse 27, no. Number four, can demons perform the supernatural? Jesus said yes in Matthew 24:24 and Revelation 16:14. Number five, why did God forbid mediums? Because 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us there is only one mediator between God and man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, what is the penalty for witchcraft? Well, the penalty, again, is in Leviticus 20, verse 27, and 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that King Saul died because he went to a spirit medium. The very first time I came to America was in 1956. I was in spiritualism at that time, but I gave it up and came out here to live in the United States with my first wife, who is now dead. I got into a little bakery route I had where I would go around the streets in my little bakery truck, and I would ring a little bell, and people knew the bakery truck was here, and people would come out and buy bread and cakes. And that's where I met a lady who was very, very instrumental in my life in becoming a Christian. This lady came out. I thought at the time she came out to buy bread and cakes, but 7 years later I learned she didn't really come out to buy bread and cakes. She really came out to tell me to stop ringing that bell because it would wake her baby up. But I never knew that. And then she saw me, and she saw I was Jewish. She had a burden for the Jews. You can tell I'm a Jew. You only have to look at my nose. My name is not Smith. But she had this burden for the Jews, and instead, this lady started praying for me, and her family became friends of mine. But then, unfortunately, I had to return to England in 1957, and I went back into spiritualism. There was, regretfully, a divorce. And friends, whenever a divorce takes place, let me tell you, it is the children who suffer. Whether the divorce should be or shouldn't, the children still suffer. Children become victims of incompatible parents. I got back more into spiritualism, and that's where I met my wife, Miranda. As I said, my former wife is now dead. And I fell in love with Miranda, and we decided to come to America to open a spiritualist organization. Now, every week, I was meeting my teenage son, Stuart. And I'll never forget that time when I had to say goodbye to him. We used to meet secretly in a park, on a bench where during the day children would be playing in a sand pit. But we used to meet round about dusk. And that was the time that I had to tell him that I was returning to America. I didn't know what to say. And we had nothing to say to each other. And I remember that evening as we sat with each other on this bench, I can still see from his brown eyes the tears rolling down his cheeks into the sandpit. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And you know, even to this day, I haven't gotten over it. One thing I do know, friends, that when you finally become a Christian, God does not remember your sins. He tells us, as far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. And when I left my Stuart that December 1964, I wasn't sure what to do. I never told him. I wasn't certain what to do. And then I did go to America. I felt very bad about it. I did, of course, write to him. When I came to America, I met the Hunsingers again. That was the family, the lady that bought bread and cakes from me. And I told her I was a spiritualist. And I thought she'd be very pleased. And I said, "I would like to go to your church because I wanted to introduce spiritualism to them." I knew they had God or Jesus or whatever it was. I didn't know what it was. But I said, I'd sure like to go to your church because I was going to proselyte them and show them the real thing, starting my organization. And of course, she was very happy. And so I went to this church. And I'll never forget the day. It was St. Valentine's Day, February the 14th, 1965. And believe you me, the minister was ready for me. He knew I was Jewish, so he preached from the Old Testament. What he didn't know was that I didn't know about the Old Testament or a New Testament or anything in between. I never read the Bible. But one thing I remember, he said, "Although your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made as white as snow." And I thought, that was interesting. But you know, it wasn't the preaching that won me to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what won me to the Lord Jesus Christ? When the service was all over, people came over to me. People started shaking hands with me. Everybody liked me. Nobody ever liked me. There was nothing to like about me. The only person that liked me was Miranda. No wonder they say love is blind. But they all liked me. And they said, you know, we have a service tonight. Would you like to come? I couldn't wait to come. And I went there in the night time. And here they were singing songs. They were happy, clapping hands. I'd never had a day's happiness in my whole life. Pleasure, yes. But then sin is a pleasure too. But happiness, no. And I was looking at these people. I'd never seen so many happy people. So I got out of my seat and I said to the pastor, you know, I'd like to join your people. I thought I was joining some kind of a club. I didn't know what Christianity was. And then he took me into his office and told me about Jesus, and I still didn't understand what he was talking about. But what I did understand was the love that these people were showing me. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. I did eventually come out of that church and went into another church. And this church really knew the Bible. But I tell you, they suck that Bible at you and they hit you with the Bible. Very legalistic. I don't believe in legalism. I believe in lovelism. I believe we can preach the truth with love. And that's how I found my Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that for those of you who don't know him, that you will find him. Because he is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. In my next message, I'm going to show you how real the spirit world is. It is very real.
Wasn't that an incredible story? Ben Alexander, the director and founder of ESP Ministries Incorporated. In fact, if you'd like a copy, there's a 3-tape video series that this is a portion of. It's called Challenge of the Occult. And it has 3 parts to it. It has psychic phenomena, spiritualism, and Ouija boards. You can write to ESP Ministries Incorporated, Ben Alexander, P.O. Box 11029, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33733. That's Ben Alexander at ESP Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 11029, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33733. Check out lightthenight.net to find out what some people throughout the nation are doing to light the night on Halloween, October the 31st. That's lightthenight.net.
I put together 3 radio shows on the various aspects of Halloween, and if you'd like copies of the additional 2 shows that you have not heard on ACB Radio, just call me at 314-436-2424, extension 309.
I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks a lot for coming along for this edition of Cry Justice. I really appreciate you bringing us into your home, your car, or your workplace. Hope you'll encourage a friend to tune to Cry Justice, too. It's on every day at the same time on this station. And if you'd like a list of the other stations Cry Justice airs on, please email me at knlc24judy at hearshelpnet.org. That's knlc24judy at hearshelpnet.org.